The City of Wanneroo, corporate sponsor, proudly supporting 89.7 FM.
Visit the Wanneroo Regional Museum and delve into the fascinating history of the City of Wanneroo. The museum has become a favourite with families who love to drop in and take part in fun, diverse and interactive children's activities. To plan your visit, head to wanneroo.wa.gov.au/Wanneroo Regional Museum.
Proudly brought to you by 89.7 FM.
The Community File.
Just an hour a week can make a difference in a young person's life. Become an EdConnect volunteer and work with students to support their academic potential and emotional well-being in school and in life. EdConnect values connection within the community, and when you become a volunteer, you become part of the EdConnect family, working together to help students thrive. For further information, please call 9444 8646 or go to their website at www.edconnectaustralia.org.au.
Proudly brought to you by 89.7 FM.
Sponsorship of community radio is effective and it's incredibly cheap. For more information, go to 89.7fm.com.au.
G'day, mate.
Well, g'day.
You're drinking orange juice too?
Yep. Nice drop, don't you reckon?
Yeah, good colour. Excellent nose.
Yep, the choice for the discerning designated driver.
Good one.
I'm Davo, by the way.
Hey, Davo, Mike Hussey.
Yeah? Must be hell having the same name as a famous Aussie Oh, geez, you're the Mike Hussey, aren't you?
Just call me Huss, mate.
Oh, geez, Huss.
Let me shout you another OJ.
Oh, they're free for designated drivers here, Huss.
I'll get you two then.
Oh, you're a legend.
A message from RAD, recording artists, actors and athletes against drink driving.
The following program may contain coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
Red Hedge is where guitarists come to play. We've got all your favourite guitarists from the Golden West.
My dad's got a couple of stories that are a little bit similar to some of the things that happened in Fawlty Towers.
Favourite rock heroes from interstate.
And my father was devastated when I said, I'm not playing this thing anymore.
And we've got international superstars.
We just want to bring people together.
Tune in to Shredheads, 8 p.m. Monday nights on 89.7 FM.
This is Shredheads with Chris on 89.7 FM.
Time for Shredheads with Chris, who'd rather be dead than not be able to shred. Grab your old pair of jeans and sit in that ass groove. We've got more masters of 6, 7, and even 8 strings. Now, a lot of bands seem to be reuniting these days. I'm not sure why, considering a lot of other bands seem to be breaking up for good, and the number of venues to perform in decreases day by day. Who knows, perhaps it's a last stand for rock and roll. Well, our first guest tonight is the newest member of a band that came raging out of the Gold Coast back in the late 90s. They disappeared at the end of 2007 but reconvened 2 years ago. And in October last year, they released their first new song in almost 20 years. Our guest features on that particular song, and he could help drive the band into a new era of success. Rowan Stevenson from Sunk Loto. Our second guest tonight, well, he had success back in the late 80s and early 90s. And his band has recently released their first new album since 2005. It's their first album with new singer Dave Roberts. And the band sounds re-energized. This guy may be the best ever guitarist to have ginger hair. Yep, he's better than me. Or at least that would have been the case when he had hair. I think I've got him beat now. The band is White Cross. He is Rex Carroll. So tonight, it's band reunions, some of which you never saw coming. Now, it's always good to hear new Guns N' Roses. This song sounds like it could have been on the Use Your Illusion albums, and it features the return of Slash and Duff McKagan. Guess if Slash and Duff can record new music with Axl, there's hope for us all, eh? Here's Perhaps on 89.7 FM.
Yeah.
Marco here, Tala there. Left of Mars. You're listening to Shredheads on 89.7 FM. That song also features Marco's former bandmate from Nightwish, Tarja Turunen. It's unlikely that Marco is going to be returning to Nightwish, but he has not ruled out the possibility of putting together a new band with Tarja. She left Nightwish in controversial circumstances back in 2005, and seeing Tarja work with just one of her former bandmates is a big surprise. Take it from me. And now let's hear from Rowan Stevenson, the new guitarist of Sunk Loto. Got him. Welcome to Shredheads, Rowan Stevenson.
What's going on?
Lots going on where I am, Rowan. Now, nice. You're the latest member of Sunk Loto. They're a Gold Coast band, but are you from Gold Coast or somewhere else?
I live in Melbourne.
You're actually in Melbourne. You're Melbourne born and raised?
That's it, yep.
Okay. Apparently in recent years, there's been a lot of people escaping to the Gold Coast.
I would if I could.
Yeah. So are the rest of the members all up there?
Yeah, they're all up there, yeah.
Okay. Now, how long have you been a guitar player for?
A long time. Been playing, since I was like 11, I guess. And, many years.
Okay.
I don't want to say. It's embarrassing now.
You're not going to give your age away on air, are you?
No, definitely not.
Okay. All right. Now, was the guitar the first instrument you started out with, or was there something else before that?
I started on keys. Yeah. So I did piano. I did classical piano for a while there.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is a good start, I think. You know, learning how to read notes and that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Well it helped Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Has being started out as a keyboard player influenced the way you play guitar?
In a sense that I try to get as far away from that as possible. Yeah.
Right. So was there any heroes you had when you started out as a guitar player?
Many, definitely. I was always into the punk stuff when I sort of started. So, Green Day and Blink-182 and some, local heroes like Body Jar and Anti Skeptic and, local bands too. I used to go to a lot of local shows and see local bands. So, yeah.
Is this when you were still in high school?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how hard is it to go to underage shows in Melbourne?
These days?
Yeah, back in those days.
Back in the day, it was easy. Like, there was lots of shows going on for all ages. Like, lots of communities would run, little events in their community halls and stuff. And, Freezer had all these events. And there's a really cool place called EVs, this community hall thing. And they'd run lots of events and gigs and stuff. And it was really, really cool. So I had heaps of opportunity to see so many different local bands and professional bands and stuff. Yeah.
The thing is, punk rock, that's a long way from classical piano.
Yeah, exactly. That's my problem with the back then when I was learning piano, wasn't the coolest instrument. And then my friends at school would show me, punk rock and metal and stuff. And that's sort of what excited me. For sure.
Do you come from a musical family by any chance?
Yeah, somewhat, for sure.
Okay. Because yep. I imagine that if you have parents that are classical musicians and they discover that their son is into punk rock, they're not going to be too pleased.
No, they were very supportive. They didn't get it, but they were more or less supportive, yeah. They were very supportive, yeah, of course.
That's strange. So did anyone provide the spark to move into more technical guitar playing?
Yes. It was the bands I was listening to at school. So I was, groups of friends at school were music fans and would show me whatever the coolest thing was going on. And I was really addicted to hearing something that I hadn't heard before, you know. So hearing the next heaviest band was always really exciting. So anytime someone would come across a really new heavy band on the internet somewhere, they'd bring it to school and be like, oh, you got to check this out. This is insane, you know. So I was really addicted to that. I still am. I still love hearing the new heaviest thing, or, you know, the new weird, crazy music that's going on that's, you know, making waves, yeah.
Okay, and when were you in high school?
When?
Yeah.
Long time ago. I was in high school early 2000s.
Okay.
Left in 04.
Right. That'd be the same as me.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. All right. Okay, see, there wasn't really anyone, any out-and-out guitar hero that said, holy smokes, I got to play like him.
I love great guitarists, but I'm more interested in great songwriting and great music, you know? So I don't tend to follow the best guitarists necessarily. If they're making the best music, then yes. But, like, there's a fine line, you know? Really amazing guitarists don't necessarily make the best music, in my opinion. So there's got to be some sort of balance there. And when they hit a sort of sweet spot where they're unbelievable guitar players, but their music is equally as unbelievable, then that's the sweet spot, I think, for me. But it's a hard question to answer. Like, I wasn't particularly into that in high school. Maybe later on in life, I sort of got more into more technical bands. Like, you know, Sunk Loto, a great example of that, with Between Birth and Death. That sort of definitely piqued my interest with, you know, interesting and cool technical guitar work, you know. And then later on, bands like Periphery making pretty insane guitar music, that definitely got me interested in that sort of stuff. But they were making great music and songs around it, you know.
I think Periphery may be one of the more influential bands of the previous decade, if not the most. Do you think they're underrated?
Yeah. I think they're about rightly rated. You know, they definitely influenced, yeah, like you said, I think they made a massive influence around sort of mid-2000s or maybe later 2000s to maybe, you know, 2015, 16, 17. I think they were the most influential metal musicians at that period of time. Still, obviously, even now, but there's so much going on these days. It's a very quick and dynamic industry.
What about gear? Yeah. What have you got at home?
Guitars?
Guitars, amps, everything.
A plethora of guitars. Yeah, I don't actually own any guitar amps these days. I'm using all digital modeling at the moment. So I've got this thing called a Neural DSP Quad Cortex, which is a digital amp modeler. I use that for recording as well as playing live. It's a really great unit. I have a bunch of guitars. I'm really lucky. I've got a great range of guitars at home. I've got a bunch of Charvels, which I've been using lately. PRS Custom 22.
Okay. And what year would the Charvels be from?
Charvels are their latest ones, so they're like probably within the last 2 years, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And where's the PRS?
PRS, that's from 2009. I saved heavily to get that one for about a year, saving every dollar I could get at that time. Yeah, so that's been a really, really nice guitar. It's one of my favorites, I'd say. I've also got a bunch of Maton guitars, two really nice acoustics, and a bunch of Master Sounds. Yeah, so I'm not short of guitars. That's, yeah.
What about acoustics? Do you have any special acoustics?
Yes, I've got this custom shop, Maiton Acoustic, built by Andy Allen, who makes guitars for like Tommy Emmanuel and heaps of those kinds of, you know, big artists and stuff. And it's a really special guitar because it's got these really nice woods. It's called like Zeracote, I think. Very nice looking wood, and it sounds amazing. So I use that on most recordings where possible. And I also got this Maiton Messiah, and it's, they built it for me, so I was able to get some cool inlays on it and stuff, and it's just a really special guitar. I love using that one. Yeah.
And going back to the periphery influence, did that have any impact on your decision to use the Neural DSP?
Well, they sort of pioneered the amp modeling sound early on. They were using Fractal Audio, which I did get a Fractal Audio unit for a while there. But I sort of have my finger on the pulse of new guitar tech somewhat. So the neural stuff came out more so in the last couple of years, and this unit, this floorboard unit, came out and was so much smaller and lighter and much more portable, which is something that is really helpful for touring musicians these days. So I decided to go for that option instead. It wasn't directly from Periphery, but yeah.
Okay, Rowan, well, we're going to play something from Sunk Loto after the breaks, featuring you on it, so listeners, don't go anywhere.
The City of Joondalup's Customer Service Centre make it easy for you to pay your rates, dog registration and infringement notices, plus receive information on other city services. The centre is located at Joondalup and is open during business hours Monday to Friday.
This is a station sponsor.
At John Hughes Cherry, Prindleville Drive, Wangarra, you get a brand new, beautifully styled Cherry Emoto 5 with leather sports seats, alloy wheels, keyless entry, rear dynamic view camera, wireless Apple CarPlay, Android Auto and smartphone charging, a massive interactive LCD, and plenty of active and passive safety features. Plus, you get a 7-year unlimited kilometre new car warranty, roadside assist, and cat price servicing, all from $31,490. Hurry, they're selling fast.
johnhughes.com.au.
DL6061.
What you hear on community radio is governed by the Community Radio Codes of Practice. The codes cover matters relating to program content, including local content, news, current affairs, Australian music content, programs for children, and the responsibilities associated with broadcasting to the community. They also cover aspects such as community access and participation in the operation of this service. Copies of the codes are available from the Community Broadcasting Association website, www.cbaa.org.au.
That's a new song from Sunk Loto, The Gallows Wait. You're listening to Shredheads on 89.7 FM, where guitarists come to play. And we've got the new guitarist for Sunk Loto on the line, Rowan Stevenson.
Yeah.
Now, Rowan, Sunk Loto's music is very different from what you've released in I Built the Sky. That's a solo project, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a lot more progressive compared with Sunk Loto.
For sure. Okay. Two entirely different things, yeah, definitely.
Now, do you have to alter the way you play, the way you normally play, at least for Sunk Loto?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just a completely different thing, you know, so... Yeah, it's a whole different headspace, you know, and it's really cool. I enjoy being able to do that, you know, and it's different. It's hard to explain, but like, I mean, for example, you know, some of the Between Birth and Death stuff was, you know, you wanted to focus more on down picking, more exclusively, you know, whether I think. Naturally, I sort of try and find a more economical method of strumming for necessity, you know, to get through a certain section. So I'm sort of in the habit of finding the more economical way. But there is something really unique and cool about, you know, fast down picking and the sound you get and the attack that you get from that. So there's some certain parts that I played. Good example would be Everything Every Way.
Okay.
Sort of the verse section, there's a exclusive down picking, which typically I would do alternate picking. It's just a little bit more easy, but there's the way it sounds just doesn't quite translate for that section. So I just pick down all every note down in it. Yeah, you know. A little bit harder to do, but sounds really cool. Sounds right for the part.
Now, Rowan, Sunk Loto was lumped in with so-called new metal bands, but you actually know your way around a fretboard. So do you find guitarists have to know more than they did 20 years ago?
Yes and no. You know, it helps. The more you know, the more skill you have, the more you've got to work with, you know. But the thing is you gotta not let that get in the way of good songs, you know, which I think is an issue that a lot of musicians have. Because their skill level is super high, you know, that they can't let their songs breathe at those times when you need to, you know. So you just gotta keep musicality at the forefront of your brain, I think. It does help to, you know, there's never a downside to having more skill, I think, as long as your creative brain keeps it in check.
Do you think that people try to cram too many ideas into a song and that ultimately degrades the quality of the song?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought that might be a problem these days because it might be like going to a burger joint and the burger's got, say, 12 ingredients in it and a lot of them don't really work together.
100%.
Yeah.
I think that's the most common problem because it's people are trying to get the most attention possible, you know, so you got to put every technique in your song so that you give yourself... I mean, that's the mentality, I assume, that people get trapped into. But I think sometimes the most satisfying song to hear is it's just straight up and down and it just gives you what you want as a listener. I think that's it. And you know, you find the sweet spot. That's the balance. You find that sweet spot where your song has it all and it doesn't get in the way of itself, you know?
And you were talking about gaining attention just a few seconds ago. And I think that's the problem with a lot of bands. They're fighting for what is a very limited space.
Yeah, definitely. We're in the TikTok age. It's, you know, you've got 1 second to make someone not scroll past your video or your song or your whatever it is. So that's an issue, I think. But that, you know, people, I think that influences people to put out certain things, but can work against them in the end, you know, like putting too many techniques into a song and stuff, you know. So it's tricky. It's tough out there.
Now, who are the other members of Sunk Loto? And they're all living on the Gold Coast now, right?
Yep. So Sean Van Gennep, he's actually in Brisbane at the moment. Jace and Dane Brown are in the Gold Coast.
Okay. So do you commute in for Gold Coast shows?
Yep.
Okay.
Can't Skype that in, unfortunately, just yet.
And what about rehearsals? How do you handle that?
Well, we get together before we're going to do something, we'll get together, you know. So we do a lot of, you know, everyone does their individual practice, you know, get the songs up. You can do that mostly, you know, at home by yourself at the computer. And then it's more the production that we got to get together and go through and everything and, you know, get the set list going and playing through and getting used to playing through the songs in that way, standing up and interacting and all that sort of stuff, focusing more on the show and that. So we sort of we'll meet up prior to a tour or something and nut out those sort of things. Yeah.
And how did you get brought into Sunk Loto?
Well, long story really, but there was a point in time where they needed help with guitar, and I sort of had a bit of a lot of, you know, a lot of back and forth with Jace, as because I'm a big fan of the band and big fan of, you know, Jace was doing a bunch of solo stuff at the time, so I would talk to him online, and he sort of had a bit of a look at what I was doing and probably thought, you know, he might have thought, oh yeah, that's not bad. So we were going to do a collaboration at one point. And then when it got down to needing some help with guitar, I was probably someone that came to mind, you know. And I was friends. I've got mutual friends with the band as well, so there would have been some discussions there, I assume, as well. And yeah, we just got together and had a bit of a jam, and sort of went from there.
Okay. Now, Rowan, are you still recording solo albums?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you balance that with your other role in Sunk Loto?
It's just more is more. I get to do more music more of the time, which is great. So, yeah, it's just I love it. So it's a good position to be in. I get to experience different things. I think ultimately it does actually help me because I get to creatively switch it up a bit and have different environments and stuff like that. So that's good for creativity because you can get a little bit stuck sometimes. So yeah, it's totally fine. It's just a bit of a balance, but it's no issue. Everyone's able to communicate and make sure things don't clash and all that. Yeah.
Well, Rowan, it's been great having you on Shredheads. Thanks for talking to us. Now, we've got something from your solo project, I Built the Sky. Can you tell us a bit about this song?
Yeah, this was from the album called The Zenith Rise, from 2019.
Here's I Built the Sky, yep. Wormhole Traveler on 89.7 FM.
We'll be right back. station sponsor.
Oxygen saturations have dropped to 89% and breathing is laboured. I've done an ECG and she's in fast AFib. Her blood pressure was stable, but her systolic has dropped to 95. What should we do?
Every single day, nursing and midwifery graduates face situations that go beyond theory. That's why we teach our students to be creative thinkers, because creative thinking can be your superpower. ECU, creative thinkers made here. Search ECU and apply now.
The Community File.
The Friends of Anzac, in collaboration with the Western Australian Military Digital Library, is holding an event aimed at those who have gaps in the industry of their military ancestors. This event, held just before Anzac Day on Sunday, April 21st, between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m, will involve the volunteers from WAMDL talking about their library, its contents, and its purpose. They will also reveal how you can use the information and even add items to the library. This event will be held at the Castellarizian House on Anzac Road and Kalgoorlie Street. Entry is by gold coin donation, which includes afternoon tea. For more information, please contact Anne on 0411 445582 or email chapan@highway1.com.au.
Proudly brought to you by 89.7 FM.
When I teach masturbation, I'm always just like, have fun with it.
Two there, Dance With Me. This is Shredheads on 89.7 FM. That song's from the latest Blink 182 album, One More Time, which features the long-awaited return of Tom DeLonge. And if you've seen the video for that song, you'll see the band paying tribute to the Ramones. They even threw in a Gabba Gabba Hey for good measure. If you need more punk, tune in to Shades of Punk with Don Rowe on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Remember, is Don is good. Well, 20 years ago, Europe released their comeback album, Start From The Dark, And since the band reconvened, they have released 6 albums. That's more than the band released during their heyday of 1982 to 1992. Let's hear something from the Start From The Dark album now. Gotta Have Faith on 89.7 FM.
The race is on. Full speed up. Faith. I get the feeling I can go that extra mile. I get the feeling I can reach that open sky. I get the feeling things will never be the same. Faith.
Double dose of Europe there. First, gotta have faith and then walk the earth. You're listening to Shredheads on 89.7 FM. The Walk the Earth album came out in 2017. We're still waiting for the follow-up to that album and a potential return to Australian soil for the first time since 2018. Now, re-recording your old songs seem to be all the rage these days. This isn't new. Def Leppard did it in the last decade and Chris Rea was doing it back in the 80s. But ever since Taylor Swift decided to re-record her entire back catalogue and in the process arguably become the most recognisable person on the whole planet, numerous bands have jumped on the bandwagon. These include Incubus, Switchfoot, and the next band you're about to hear, Thousand Foot Crutch. They last came to Perth in 2015, broke up in 2017, and reconvened last year. And they've since re-recorded their 2012 album, The End Is Where We Begin. And the new version of this song, and the album in particular, sees them collaborating with several of their musical peers. The remake of this song sees them teaming up with Red, I Get Wicked, on 89.7 FM.
Hundreds of schools around WA have their school photos taken by a specialist school photographer. And Capture Photography has been doing this for over 17 years.
No other school photographer puts as much effort into providing WA's highest quality photographic products. If you are part of a school management team, a PNC member, or even a parent wanting the very finest school photos, get in touch with the team at capture.com.au. That's Capture with a K. Station sponsor.
The Community File.
Writing for the Disabled Capricorn Group is a not-for-profit organisation that has been operating in Pinjar area for over 10 years. They service the needs of the wider community, offering therapeutic horse riding lessons to people of varying abilities. RDA Capricorn is desperate for more volunteers. You don't need to have any experience with horses, as they offer training and other roles that are not horse-related, like gardening, cleaning, administration. There would be something for those handy people in the community. Lessons run Monday through Saturday, with the latter of which being their busiest day of the week. If you are 14 years or over and wish to have some horsey fun with their wonderful and diverse riders, please get in touch with the office via email office@rdacapricorn.com.au for more information. Volunteer induction days are available at the beginning of each term. You can also check them out at their Facebook page.
Proudly brought to you by 89.7 FM.
Sponsorship of community radio is effective and it's incredibly cheap. For more information, go to 89.7fm.com.au.
The following program may contain coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
This is Shredheads with Chris on 89.7 FM.
Time for another hour of Shredheads on 89.7 FM. Before the break, we heard Thousand Foot Crutch with a new version of War of Change. The new version features Adelita's Way, and you can hear it on The End Is Where We Begin, Reignited. That's the re-recorded version of The End Is Where We Begin album from 2012. We're going to hear from Whitecross Axemaster Rex Carroll very soon, but first, it's been 21 years since the Super Jesus released an album. Sarah and the boys have released several singles over the last few years, and a fourth album is being recorded. We're not sure on the release date, but hopefully it comes out this year or before the apocalypse. Here's Lights Out on 89.7 FM.
Tonight
There's the Super Jesus, Lights Out. This is Shredheads on 89.7 FM. The band's long-awaited fourth album was supposed to be released last year, but like everything these days, it's been delayed. We're still waiting on the release date. And some good things have come out of Adelaide, such as James Aish, Tom Emmett, and Michael Frederick. If you need more sport, tune in to Talking Sport on Saturdays at 8 a.m. with Clive, Max, and the boys. Should be a big show. It's Derby Week this week. Now let's hear from White Cross's Axe Master, Rex Carroll. Got him. Welcome to Shredheads, Rex Carroll.
Hey, Chris. Nice to talk with you.
It certainly is, Rex. Now, Rex, you've actually visited Australia before, but for those who aren't familiar with White Cross, where do you originally come from?
The band hails from Chicago, Illinois, all the way on the other side of the world.
Other side of the world.
We had some amazing... Yeah, we had some fantastic tours in Australia, and we've been to New Zealand, and we'd love to come back. It's just really amazing.
So when did you come to Australia for the first time?
I'm going to want to say it was either 89 or 1990, thereabouts.
Yeah, sounds like it's been too long.
Oh yeah, it has been.
Now,
y'all had an excellent concert promoter down there named David Smallbone.
David Smallbone.
He's a friend of mine, but he had moved from Sydney. He took the journey and moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and so that's where he's out of now. And there just hasn't been. A concert promoter to make the invitation for us to come back yet. So we're still waiting for that, but I look forward to coming back and just had an amazing time there the last time. And because it's been a while now, but we'd love to come back.
Yeah, and it's been a while since you put out your last album too, because there's a new album out this year, but the last album before that was, what, 2005?
Yeah. Yeah, we did a record in 2005, which was a remake of the songs from our first album. And then after that, we just had a hard time just working on new songs and things. One thing after another would get in the way. And then, of course, now we have a new lead singer. And when that happened, then all the creative energy started coming back and everything started lining up right, and so we were able to get back in the studio again. And of course, our new album released just last week, so we're just riding high on that right now, and we're loving this new album. It's called Fear No Evil.
Okay. Now, Rex, when did you start out as a guitar player? Sounds like it was some time ago.
Well, I remember hanging out at the White House with my buddy Abraham Lincoln, and we tried to start a band together. He said, "No, I think I'll be the president of the United States." And I said, "Oh, okay, you do that. I'll play the guitar." So yeah, it's been like a few minutes since I was 10 years old, and my parents got me a guitar for my 10th birthday. But before that, I already had piano lessons and studied the violin.
Okay.
And I got a guitar on my 10th birthday and never looked back. And that was it. That's plan A. There is no plan B.
Right. Yeah. That's the way it is for a lot of musicians.
Yeah. I mean, you know, well, it's a good idea to study something so that you can have something to fall back on. It's like, well, fall back sounds like you're planning to fail. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and if you fall back, you might break your back.
Playing guitar is just a way of life, and it is what it is, and it's what I do. And thank goodness I can pick the guitar a little bit, because I'm not very good at anything else.
Okay. Now, are your parents musicians? Because obviously you'd had the piano training and...
Yeah, well, no, I'm actually the black sheep of the family. Nobody else in my family is musical. I just, for some reason, music just grabbed a hold of me, and then I just would sit in my room learning how to play songs by Kiss and Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin and so on and so forth, all the way up through my school years. And then when I got out of school, first thing I did out of school was get a job teaching guitar. And then I was like some months into that, and then I submitted a cassette tape of myself playing the guitar to Atlantic Records, which is one of the big major labels back at that time. And they actually liked what I was doing. And they, over a period of a couple of years, we put together a band around that. And so I released an album on Atlantic in 1985. And then shortly after that, I started with White Cross. And the first group didn't hit, but White Cross became like a pretty big success story. So I've been in White Cross ever since.
Okay. Now, when White Cross started out in the mid-80s, who were you listening to at the time?
Yeah. Well, there wasn't really any Christian rock happening outside of Stryper and the Res band, the Resurrection band. And I was listening to, you know, I was raised on all the great rock music from the 70s. And I would go back and listen to things from the 1960s. And then when the 1980s came along, of course I was blown away by Van Halen and all the blues guitar players, Johnny Winter, Stevie Ray Vaughan was huge for me, Robin Trower, Frank Marino, Peter Frampton, Richie Blackmore, Deep Purple, Scorpions, Michael Schenker, UFO. So many great bands and great musicians. And I just wanted to have a band play the same kind of music. And at the same time, my Christian faith compelled me to have a desire to be in a group that would lift up the name of God and just tell people about Jesus. So we're a little bit different in that way, but you know, it's like, if you like Stryper, chances are you would like White Cross. So I leave it at that. You know, we want to be like a band that comes from that whole line of groups that I just mentioned. Whitesnake was another one, Rat, Motley Crue, Cinderella, the whole LA rock scene from the 1980s. You know, that was all a big part of my musical journey and influences. And you know, I'm going to leave people out. Yngwie Malmsteen is another guitar influence. So, you know, it's all in there. ZZ Top was another one of my favorite bands.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah, any kind of guitar rock that they would play on the radio I'm good with it.
And how did you find the members of White Cross in the early days? Because obviously they had to have the musical sense. They had to have the common sense of what you
think
from a music perspective, but also from a faith perspective.
Well, Chris, I got to tell you, I have been blessed with some amazing lead singers in my lifetime. The guy we had in the Fierce Heart band, which was the record I did on Atlantic, he was no slouch. He was really good. And then I met Scott Wenzel in 1985. He was looking for a guitar player, and I was looking for a singer to start a Christian rock band. And when I met Scotty, I would just listen to his speaking voice, and he told me, "Yeah, I can sing. I'm a singer." And I was like, "Man, he's got something, some sound that's in his voice." And I thought, if I can tap into that sound, it's like if he can. So I finally got to hear him sing, and I thought, well, if he can just hold a pitch, it's going to be good. And then it turned out he had this amazing range and could just hit any note, and it's like, holy cow. It was a grand slam home run. Couldn't ask for a better singer. And then people said, you know, your voice sounds a lot like Stephen Piercy from Rat.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And that was entirely coincidental. Scotty never listened to Rat. He didn't know who they were. He was listening to a lot of Res Band, Striper, and then on the radio, he was listening to groups like Foreigner and Journey, Styx, Kansas, some of the more pop type music. He's like, really? I sound like a rock band? Okay. So we started out, and we with Scotty, and then now we have David Roberts, who is another just unbelievably amazing singer. So like I said, I've had some really great vocalists to work with.
Now, Rex, I've got to ask, what sort of gear are you using right now?
Well, I've had a lot of problems with tube guitar amps. You know, they sound great when they work, and there's nothing better than a tube amp. But I am tired of cheap tubes now that come from China. You know, the good tubes used to be made in the Ukraine, actually. And of course, you know, Ukraine is at war right now. So you can't get anything from Ukraine, and there's certainly not any tubes. And then there was a quality tubes for guitar amps that were made in Russia, of all places. And I didn't know this, you know, like back in the day, I didn't know. I'd just buy an amp and it's got tubes in it. I didn't know where they come from. And now the tubes are just made really cheaply, very inexpensively, and they don't last, they fail. And I'm tired of performing on stage and the amp just dies. It just quits, you know, like an hour into the show and the amp dies. And a couple times with that, and you'll get tired of it real fast. So I've been using the Quad Core Binaural Technologies, which is a digital guitar processor, and the sound is very different from what I'm used to, from what I've grown up on. And I still don't completely trust it 100%, but I've kind of gotten used to it, and it's what you can do to program the thing is pretty vast and pretty deep, but there are amazing guitar sounds in there, and you just kind of have to accept that, well, this is the digital technology and it's different from the analog technology with the circuit boards and the tubes, which is your typical guitar amp. So it's different, but they're both good. So now I can use, certainly for recording, I can use both. I've been performing with the digital box, the Quad Core, and it weighs a lot less than the tube amp. So I'm getting kind of spoiled now. It's like, it's nice not to have to lug the heavy equipment around anymore. So yeah, so that's where I've been at lately. And it changes all the time. You know, I'm sure if you ask me the same question 2 or 3 years from now, it'll probably be something else.
And what about guitars? What are you using as far as guitars go?
Well, I still have my Zion Radicaster guitar that was an endorsement from the Zion Guitar Company back, I don't know, 1993, I think. I still have that guitar, still use it. I've got a Charvel J.K. Lee signature model, which is a lot of fun to play. I love that compound radius on the neck. And probably the guitar that's had like a really big impact on me, though, is the Gibson Flying V. So I had the had the opportunity to grab one of those, and I started playing it and just have never put it down. It's really easy to play, and you get accessibility up to all of the high notes on the fingerboard, and it's kind of interesting. When you play on a guitar like the Flying V, your brain will start rewiring itself to reorient to that guitar. And so I started discovering a lot of new patterns, a lot of new finger patterns, and it just sort of changed the way I look at things. And then when I go to the Charvel guitar, that's a more traditional type instrument, and I see that a little differently. So they're both great, but that Gibson has really got a great tone for making records. I've probably used it on most every song on the record, other than The Lion of Judah uses the Charvel guitar, and I understand that that's on the playlist for later today.
Yes, it will be. And you mentioned Zion guitars. That's a brand I haven't heard of before.
Yeah, it's kind of a boutique. It's a small company based out of North Carolina, and they approached me about making an endorsement deal, and they make a beautiful product. You know, being a small manufacturer, they go all out to go the extra mile to make sure that I'm happy with the instrument. So I played that guitar pretty much 100% on back when I did the King James album in 1993, I think that was. And then I've used it here and there ever since. You know, I rotate between instruments. Probably my favorite neck is the Charvel's got this compound radius thing which is really fun to play. It's super fast. It's super easy. It feels like, oh yeah, I'm back in the 1980s doing just shred guitar licks. And that's what it feels like. That's the Jakey Lee signature model. And of course, I'm a big fan of Jakey Lee too. That's another one. Okay. Throw on the bucket list. You know, Randy Rhodes, Jakey Lee, pretty much all the guitar players that have been in and out of Ozzy. So yeah, I'm going back to that. I'm just a fan of everything. I'm just a fan of great guitar, wherever it comes from.
Well, Rex, we got a new song from White Cross coming up after the break. So if you're listening in, don't go anywhere.
The need for vital resources continues to rise. Meanwhile, the climate is warming and regions are becoming drier. We need new ways to support our increasing population while also conserving our rich biodiversity. Any ideas?
Every single day, science graduates face situations that go beyond theory. That's why we teach our students to be creative thinkers, because creative thinking can be your superpower. ECU, creative thinkers made here. Search ECU and apply now.
The Community File.
Looking for fun and exciting place for your kids after school? The City of Stirling provides a quality outside school hours care service in Inglewood. For more information, jump onto the website stirling.wa.gov.au/children.
Promote your non-profit organisation or community group, and it's free. Head to our website at 897fm.com.au.
The Community File.
Don't miss out on the 2024 Wanneroo Business Expo, organised by our station sponsor, Wanneroo Business Association, in partnership with the City of Wanneroo. It's an opportunity to network with the local business community and find out what's on offer for you. Entry is free from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. on Thursday, the 18th of April, 2024, at the Marina Mindari. For more information and for tickets, visit the website at wba.asn.au.
Proudly brought to you by 89.7 FM.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Carroll from White Cross. We've got an awesome new song here. It's called Man in the Mirror. For all you wonderful people down there in Australia, you're listening to 89.7 FM.
We'll be right back.
song from White Cross, Man in the Mirror. You're listening to Shredheads on 89.7 FM, where guitarists come to play. And we've got a guitarist who certainly knows how to do that, Rex Carroll.
Yeah, hey, Chris. It's good to be here.
Yep, welcome back, Rex. Now, as you said earlier, Fear No Evil, that's the new album. And it's the first White Cross album with Dave Roberts on vocals as opposed to Scott Wenzel. So how's working with him different? Yes. How's working with Dave different to working with Scott?
It's a lot easier. With all due respect to Scotty, who is a phenomenal vocalist and certainly an iconic voice and an iconic figure in the Christian rock world. And yet for me personally, it's a lot easier working with David Roberts because, we think alike. We have the same influences, and it's very easy to write, melodies for his voice. He has phenomenal vocal range. One of the things I really love about Dave, and you just played the song, Man in the Mirror, so your listeners can hear that. People compare Dave, they listen to Dave, and I hear everything from, oh, he sounds a little like David Coverdale. Oh, he sounds a little like Jeff Tate. You know, once in a while, somebody will say, oh, he sounds a little bit like Ronnie Dio. Oh, he sounds a little bit like Klaus Meyn from the Scorpions. Or Sammy Hagar. I've heard that one too. So it's like, well, I guess Dave sounds like Dave, but it's awesome that people think of these other great singers and they put him in that same conversation, which I think is deservedly so. He's got a phenomenal tone, sings great in the low register, and then, you know, then the chorus kicks in and he kicks up into the high register. That's that classic 80s songwriting style, and it just comes very easily to both of us. So, it's just been a true pleasure working with Dave on the new record, and hopefully many more to come.
Now, you mentioned comparisons with different singers before. Do you think that hurts Scott because he was often compared with Stephen Pearcy?
Well, I think that the comparison to Stephen Pearcy was legitimate, especially in the early days of White Cross. And I thought I was perfectly happy with that. I was like, my attitude was like, cool. If you like Rat, then chances are you like White Cross. Or people say, oh, White Cross, that's that band that sounds like Rat. It's like, okay, well, you know, when you're a new artist and you're looking for a handle, it gives people a way to sort of, they hear the name and they go, well, I don't know what it is. And somebody says, well, they sound like Rat. And you go, okay, so, if that's not your thing, you move on. But it's like, a lot of people are like, oh, I think I'd like that. So that certainly helped us in the early days. But I think it's also fair to say that, we kind of moved. We're not the same songwriting style. We're not the same. I'm not the same guitar player as like a Warren DeMartini. There's another name that you can add to the list of great guitar players that I enjoy. So I think eventually it got to the point, you know, after like 5 years, come on, we've got several albums out. We sound like ourselves. We don't sound like Rat. And that, then it became like a lazy way for maybe journalists to describe the band. Oh, it was just sort of a convenient label. Oh, yeah, the group that sounds like Rat. And they didn't really have to think about it too much. And now I think that it's, again, I think it's going to be easier for us to have our own identity going forward. We certainly do not sound like Rat anymore. I'm happy to say that. We draw inspiration from all of these bands that have gone before us, but at some point, you know, we are what we are, and I do my own thing on the guitar, and Dave does his own thing on the singing, and we have our influences, which show, but we don't sound exactly like any other artist. We sound like Whitecross.
Okay, now, in the late 80s, early 90s, that seemed to be a heyday for the Christian metal movement, not just yourselves, but also Stryper and Guardian. Is it fair to say that those three bands could be the big three of that movement?
What, Stryper, Guardian, and Whitecross?
Yeah.
I guess. I think the Stryper has been way out in front of everybody else for many decades, and they're a phenomenal band. They're phenomenally talented, great musicians, great songs. So yeah, they've earned their status at the top of the pile, and you know, somewhere down below that, in terms of the album sales in our heyday, there was Whitecross, and then there was everybody else after that. But then we spent, we were doing shows all the way through the 2000s, all the way up until 2019 when we got our new singer, and then of course there was the COVID years. So these other groups like Guardian, I think they would just get together sporadically here and there to play the occasional festival date or something. But, you know, Whitecross has been out there, and not to downgrade any of the other bands, Bloodgood was another group that was out there doing shows and things. And of course, sadly, Michael Bloodgood passed away a couple of years ago, so that band is gone. We're still here. We're carrying the torch.
Now, you and Benny were in King James with Tim Gaines and Robert Sweet, and also Tracy Ferry. He was a member of Whitecross back in the 90s. And back in a few years ago, you did an album with Jamie Rowe from Guardian. So how familiar were you with those other bands? Did you tour with each other or play shows together?
No. In 2017, my drummer, Michael Feehan, who plays drums for Whitecross, approached me and said, hey, I've been talking with David Bach and Jamie Rowe. And David Bach plays bass for Guardian. And I know that he's the leader of that band behind the scenes. And then Jamie Rowe, of course, is the lead vocalist. And so then I play guitar and Mike plays the drums. So Mike said, hey, why don't we do Whitecross and Guardian? And I said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I just don't want to be like the number one engine that drives the band. I want to be a passenger. I'll sit in the back of the bus and let somebody else drive the car. So it was a great idea when we started. And then one of the guys jumped ship early and bailed out of the project without waiting around to see what it could become. And then it just kind of fizzled out, and I'm like still completing the album mixes, which was exactly the position that I did not want to be in. So I think it was a great idea, but it never got, nobody that was involved in it stuck around long enough to see where maybe it could go. You know, if we had kept it together, then maybe we'd still be working on things today. So, it's a good idea. Just unfortunately it never made it as far as it needed to go before we could figure out what to do with it.
All right. Now, Whitecross has had quite a bit of success in Latin America. Do you credit that to anything in particular?
Yeah. I have no idea, but God bless South America. We've had wonderful shows in Guatemala, Honduras, Costa Rica, Brazil. Just really, really great. I think the band went down to Argentina. I didn't play with the group for a period of 6 years when I was doing King James and White Cross was going on with a different couple. They had two or three different guitar players. But they went down to Argentina. I haven't had that opportunity yet, but we have been to South America several times and Mexico. We've been there, and I don't know. It's just it's inspirational, you know. I think it's a great thing for people to travel in general, especially people from the United States who are. You know, there's a lot of people in the United States who are very whiny and very complainy about the United States. Hey, you're such a terrible country. Oh yeah, well, you should go travel and just see how other people live, and then that'll change some of your viewpoints. Anytime you get the opportunity to travel is a good thing. See how other people live.
Now, Rex, outside of White Cross, your guitar playing has appeared on commercials for the Milwaukee Bucks and also the first season of the Anna Nicole Show. Does that surprise you that only does that surprise people that only know you for what you've done with White Cross?
Well, what that is, I can tell you're reading that off of the bio sheet, and we have a thing in America called sound libraries. And just imagine when you're listening or when you're watching a television show, and then there's music, right? Or even if you're watching the news, there's music. If you're watching a commercial, there's music. If you're watching anything on a screen, there's background music. So I had the opportunity to compose background music, and they call it a sound library, and it's been very successful for me. Some of that music has been used by the NFL, which is the National Football League, very, very popular in the United States. Even some, for a while there, I was getting used by the WWF, which is like Worldwide Wrestling Federation or something. And then I was getting airplay at sporting events, like live sporting events, professional basketball teams. The NBA was, you know, I would look at my royalty statement, and say, oh, you know, LA Lakers versus New York Knicks, you know, and there'd be like 20 games in a row between those two teams, and it would show, yeah, I got played in the stadium. So that's been really fun. That has kind of tapered off a bit in the last couple of years, but for a while it was a big source of income for me, and certainly was an opportunity to do it, and it was fun. Yeah, it's just another aspect of the musical life.
Yeah, it's funny because Christian rock and Anna Nicole Smith are things that don't necessarily go together.
Well, this is not, again, as I say, this was not something I did as part of Christian rock. This was an opportunity to, what you do is you write an instrumental composition that's 2 minutes long, and you write 10 of these compositions. Anything that sounds like it could be played. Do y'all have ESPN Sports Network down there?
Yes, we can access it.
Okay, so just imagine you're watching like sports television. I know you like European style soccer down there, right? You call
it football.
Yeah,
it's pretty popular.
Exactly. So when you're watching a game and there's, you know, and just as they're going in and out of the commercial, or you see the television show where they're analyzing the game and they got the talking heads talking about, oh yeah, you know, and he kicked the goal and blah, 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 and his statistics on this team, blah, blah, blah. And then there's now, you know, after the commercial, we'll be right back. And then there's music, right? So where does that music come from? Well, I had the opportunity to compose some of that music. Once you compose the music and it goes to the publisher, then it's out there and anybody can use it. So I've had a couple of TV shows. I've been on Nickelodeon a few times. And the Ann and Nicole Smith show was using it for a while, and that was a, you know, I don't think the show lasted for very long. I've never seen it. I've never heard it. I have never seen it, but it shows up on my publishing statement. So there it is.
Okay. Well, Rex, it's been great having you on Shredheads. Thanks for talking to us. Now, we've got one more song, and you mentioned it before, Lion of Judah. Can you tell us a bit about this song?
Yeah. Oh, great song. I love this song. Was actually thinking about when I started working on a song, I was thinking, I need a song that sounds like a typical White Cross song, but at the same time, I was thinking about the 80s era of Ozzy Osbourne, right? And I'm like, man, I need some really cool, like I need a guitar riff, like what would Jakey Lee do? So I started coming up with this riff, and it sounded great. We had the song, didn't have the guitar tone. It just so happened that I came into possession of the Charvel Jakey Lee model guitar, and I tried that, and it's got a kind of a bright kind of a sound. So I plugged that into the Splawn 100 watt amp, which is like the main amplifier that I used on the record, and that's like, wow, it had the tone. So I just cut all the tracks with the guitar, and I was like, that's the sound that it needed. And it just felt great, and it sounded great on the playback. So that is the sound of that song. And of course, love the lyrics to the song. It's a very powerful song. It talks about, you know, Jesus, just the power and the majesty of Jesus. And it's amazing what he can do for your life. So. Love this song. It's The Lion of Judah.
Let's hear it now. Lion of Judah on 89.7 FM. Let's play.
give your business a unique position right here. For more information on how 89.7FM can grow your business, go to 89.7fm.com.au.
When it comes to kids' sport, parents have lots of questions.
Do I have to volunteer or can I just donate to the club?
How often do you train?
Will she get to play with her friends and will they be in the same team?
But there are vital questions every parent should ask.
How will you keep my child safe?
Is this a safe club for kids?
What does the club have in place to make sure that our children are protected?
Don't take child safety at your club for granted. Find the important questions at playbytherules.net.au and start to talk.
Here's David Williams from Perth Glory for RAD.
Football is a true team sport. When you're a part of a team, you support each other, you back each other up, and you do whatever it takes to help a teammate who's in trouble. So if you're with someone who's been drinking, don't let them get behind the wheel. Take their keys and call a taxi, because mates don't let their mates drink drive.
RAD. RAD.org.au.
We're back on Shredheads on 89.7 FM. Before the break, we heard White Cross, Lion of Judah. We haven't heard much new material from White Cross in recent years, but Rex Carroll, Benny Ramos and Michael Feehan are back. And new boy Dave Roberts sounds like a damn good singer. That's it for Shredheads tonight. Stand by for Retropopic with Neil Saint. Tomorrow is World Voice Day, a day that was established to increase public awareness of the importance of the voice and alertness to voice problems. So request your favourite John Farnham songs on 0418 897 897. That's 0418 897 897. And speaking of John Farnham, he's putting out his memoirs in November. Lee from 90 Spin will be happy about that, but Dave from One Step Beyond will not be. Now, we've got one more song before Neil kicks me out. This is probably the closest we're going to get to new material from Dokken's classic lineup. If you thought peace in the Middle East was difficult, try getting Don Dokken and George Lynch to work together. Fortunately, George still works well with Jeff Pilson, and whilst Mick Brown may have retired, his brother Steve can beat on the skins pretty well. And the singer, he's from India, Girish Pradhan. Here's The End Machine, Killer of the Night, on 89.7 FM. Till next time, keep shredding.